Like New York, they had to name it twice because it's so nice. Twice in a week on the pod today. Charles, what's going on, man? What'd you think? Catch people up about what you think about our first starter with the football conversation.
I mean, we got it started. Got two conferences out the way. Got six more to go, so hopefully we can get them all banged out before the season starts. Still feeling good even after listening to it again. Still feeling confident about the Seahawks and pretty good about where the Bears are going to finish. I'm good on it, man. I'm good on it. How about you?
Well, the divisions are always just tough to calculate, especially with the – once again, I can't talk about how great it is the NFL does in terms of their scheduling. Usually the fourth place – that's why it's so great. In about a fourth-place team, you can have it – obviously, you finish fourth. Next year, you got a fourth-place schedule. And you never know. You get first, and you got a first-place schedule. Mitch is going to be exposed or, I mean, as a – only because three quarterbacks couldn't make it, including the NFC Super Bowl attendee, which is the reason why he made the Pro Bowl. And actually, it's interesting because Mahomes, Trubisky, and Deshaun Watson, all from that draft class, made the Pro Bowl, which is just crazy to me. But, you know, that first-place schedule is about to get real, man. And we're going to see what's up with the Bears. And then y'all are non-Jerry Goff believers, and y'all are telling Les Snead that he doesn't need to worry about that extension next year. They making him play through it. So it'll be interesting, man. No question. No question about it. Charles, with Russell Wilson, one thing we just didn't comment on in regards, did you see his little ownership stake with the Seattle Sounders?
Russ is making moves. Russ out here making moves, man. Sierra then leveled my man up. You know, not to knock his first wife, but he upgraded with his second wife.
Charles.
I'm just saying, he got a new contract, got a new wife, and hey, man, you know, go Hawks. I don't know what else to tell you. I mean, he's doing good, man. That's like Russ, besides Brady, like Russell Wilson is one of my, you know, two or three favorite players. So I'm all about my man, Danger Russ.
I see it. Danger Russ indeed. And I think it's just fitting as we want to cross over to the AFC. We wanted to bring somebody on here who is as real as they come. I think one, I'm blessed that, man, Dubs and I have been friends since, man, it's crazy. I would say probably next week, 18 years ago, was our first time meeting each other, Stuart Hall, and just getting to know him. And so really, really excited for him to be on the pod. Chris, what's going on, man? How's Pittsburgh? What's going on?
Fellas, what's going on? Man, it's crazy. You know, I'm kind of making my rounds on podcasts talking about Pittsburgh sports because, you know, all the drama that's been going on over the past, I don't know, few months. But, you know, speaking to our friendship, man, yeah, I mean, we've been boys for, you know, forever.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like you said, 18 years.
That's crazy. I mean, going back to Stuart Hall, those first days. See, Charles, even before he was being recruited, he didn't realize, like, the first time where, like, folks really kicked it in Stuart was on the courts, the outdoor courts. Nate Green, like, folks used to come up and hoop there. Those were the fun games, man. The Stuart Hall blacktop courts before they made Al Parking were the best. It was what you did. Friday at 3 o'clock, you either watched the fall baseball team from, you know, Stuart Hall, or you was hooping. It was great. We didn't even have to worry about going down to the pack.
Oh, no, I'm not hooping on no asphalt. BG would have shut all that down.
That's true, man. That's true. But OP was running shop. You know, he was trying to just
hey, cut it out, guys. Cut it out.
That's wild.
That's my man. I know exactly what he would have been on.
Yeah. As he says, there's no prize at the bottom of the bottle, too. Was one of his favorite things he used to tell us at camp. So, yeah, Chris, it's perfect that you've been making the rounds and want to make sure we just get this in, man. I feel terrible that we got to put you on the spot. As we talked about baseball in the first, just want to knock that out. But the Pirates, man, what happened? It was after All-Star break. It was like, oh, man, maybe. But what happened?
Oh, man, you know, truth be told, I love me some baseball. I love the Pirates, but I never thought it would come to this. I'm done with them. You know, I got the logo with the crown of thorns tattooed on my body over top. It's been a rough, 13 through 15, it was great.
Yes.
But they didn't add after, you know, that 15 to 16, you don't add, and it's, I'm done. There's people still on Twitter, like, talking about the Pirates. It's a mental illness at this point. If you're on Twitter talking about the Pirates or arguing about the Pirates in August 2019, you're mentally ill at this point.
Charles, from afar, what have you seen about the Pirates, especially with your time in Chicago? Actually, you were there when it was getting kind of hot for them.
Boy, do they miss the days of Andrew McCutchen.
Yes. Do I? I miss some Cutch. There were some people that were, you know, hating on him. Oh, they shouldn't pay him. I'm glad that he can't. Come on. That's my guy.
Yeah, it's just bad. And I mean, yeah, it's just bad. It's been bad. It's been bad for a long time, man. I'm a great admirer of the city of Pittsburgh. I think the coming into Pittsburgh across the river is one of the best views you'll ever see. But yeah, it's looking bad right now. They're bad. They got rid of Garrett Cole. It's just, it's bad. It's, I don't know what you guys have got going on.
I don't think anybody does. I don't even think the guys in the Pirates office know what they have going on, to be honest with you.
What's going on with my man Bell? Is he going to be on the team a year from now?
You know, I mean, he suffered through a little bit of, you know, a little bit of a slump recently.
Sure.
You know, but look, it's baseball. I mean, you know, hitting the baseball is the toughest thing to do on earth. I don't care what anybody says. You know, it's a tough game to play, hitting the baseball. But at the end of the day, he's a Scott Boras guy, and the Pirates are the cheapest team in the entire league. Mm. You know, they run the team like a newspaper business in West Virginia. So I don't see him being on the team, you know, after 3-4 years, especially if he comes out has another very good.
Did you just hear the little slight shade towards West Virginia, Charles, as a Pittsburgh guy?
That was some early shade. Some early shade right there.
I got you. I'll slide it in there.
I see it, man. We didn't even request it. We love it when there's the side shake.
Oh, no, I got you on the WVU Penn State. I got you on all that. Don't even worry. I'll slide it in there.
This is perfect. Oh, man. Yeah, Charles already called out that he put Huggins' team in a body bag, as he so likes to tell us. So, yeah, man, that's great. As a neutral, even though, how do you think the NL Central is going to play out? And will they have two? And actually, will the NL Central have two teams, or maybe three, in the playoffs, where two would be representative of the wild card, and then one being the.
Man, I've always thought the NL was one of the tougher divisions in baseball, and that still holds true. You know, to be honest with you, I mean, I don't know what you guys think or your opinion, but I still think the Cubs are the team to beat in that division, and always will be. Just from an offensive standpoint, pitching standpoint, you know, you got guys like Darvish, you know, pitching a little better, Quintana pitching a little better, Cole Hamels back from the injured list. I really think the Cubs are a lock for the playoffs, and it's going to be a battle between St. Louis, you know, between those other three, St. Louis, Milwaukee, Cincinnati, but I think they're going to get two in at the end of the day. I just don't know if the Reds really have the pitching top to bottom.
Oh, we're not even going to consider the Reds in this discussion. It's been a nice little, feel-good story down there in the 513. But now there's levels to this. As Charles and I like to remind people, the Brewers, they have Yelich, who may be the best player in the National League when he's actually getting going. He's been fun. The Cardinals, I mean, call it what it is. I mean,
Brandon Woodruff might be the key to this whole thing.
That's a good point. For sure.
That might be a guy who, you know, if they can bolster their pitching staff sooner rather than later, I think it might be tough for the Cardinals. I kind of do like the bit haters been shaky a little bit.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, man. There's levels of this count those pennant flag. When it comes down to September and you're using all the roster, we're going to see, man. It's going to be great to see it. But, yeah, the Cubs definitely, I mean, top to bottom, are they better? They should be better than the Cardinals, but you know, there may be something missing with them right now. I think Hamels being back is definitely going to help them. But Lester's been getting beat up lately. So if I had to say today, I think the Cubs get in for sure. I think the Cardinals get in as a wild card. And depending on what's going on with Washington and the Brewers, yeah, we'll see. But, I mean, that division's tough, man. And that Central's fun. It's really fun. And we just hope the Pirates can get back to their contributing ways, if you will. So there we go. Let's dive right into it. Why wait? And let's start with the bottom feeders. Sorry, we don't really, I mean, we have a lot of Ohio friends. But we're here to speak the truth, and we're going to tell you the truth. And we're going to start with the worst team, I think, in the division. Definitely, unfortunately, with the new coaching staff, we don't really know their identity. But I think this is going to be fun. Charles, let's go ahead and talk about the Bengals. And then let's debate. I want you to name, Charles, if you can, how many quarterbacks are better than Andy Dalton in the National Football League? And I'll let you start rattling off names, and Chris, jump in.
Brady, Breeze, Rodgers, Wilson, Matt Ryan, Dak, Jeff Goff,
Darnold, Trubisky,
Nick Foles, Wentz.
We say Big Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
And Roethlisberger. I don't even think you said Big
Kirk Cousins.
Breeze. I mean,
Roethlisberger Cousins. I think I have 14 now.
Yep.
I think. He's better than Jameis Rivers.
Hold on, we're pausing.
I got Jameis over Andy Dalton.
Absolutely. Wait, what, Charles?
I like him from a lead. I like Jameis as a, like, I think he's a very underrated leader, in my opinion.
Absolutely. Wait, Charles, go ahead, because we know.
Nah, I'm not even saying that. I'm just saying Andy Dalton's played in the playoffs and Jameis hasn't. So Andy Dalton has multiple playoff at least games. They never win shit, but
I can roll with that tiebreak. I can roll with you on that.
Okay. All right, we'll give it to him.
So they're playing in, I would say they're playing in fairly equally difficult divisions, and one of them seems to make the playoffs relatively, you know, regularly, and the other person's never made the playoffs. So that would be my tiebreaker.
Okay, so we're still at 15.
I can't think of third. Matt Stafford.
Yeah.
Yes,
Matt Bruce. Did we Stafford. Say Matt Ryan?
Would you put Trubisky over him?
He did. Chris okay. actually said Trubisky, and I was surprised. I'm fine
I guess I'm
with it.
More of a talent perspective.
Deshaun Watts?
Yeah, 16 for sure. Deshaun's definitely better than Dalton. Absolutely.
Cam Newton, would he miss?
Yep. That's we'll 17. Put Cam Newton over him, without a doubt.
Is Eli better than Dalton?
No, not right now.
Is Jimmy G better than Dalton?
I can't say that. I can't say that with confidence.
I can't.
Who would you rather have?
If we're starting a franchise today, Jimmy G, without a doubt.
Yeah, easy. But for this season, I would probably take Andy Dalton for the season.
You saying if Andy Dalton was on the 49ers instead of Jimmy Garoppolo, they would win more games?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just this year. I'm not saying in the long term. I'm saying this year.
I understand.
The fact that he didn't play last year and this is still going to be his first year of full starting is still good. I think he's still going to have some growing pains.
Here's 19, Andrew Luck.
Yep.
I thought somebody said him. I thought Chris said him. That seems about right.
Yeah.
So he's in the last third of quarterbacks right now. And why? I mean, I think he's definitely the most.
Derek Carr is better than him.
Yes. Yep. I agree with that too. See, there we go. Mahomes. Good Lord, we didn't even mention the MVP of the league.
I mean, he's Andy Dalton 100% in the bottom third of the league.
Yeah, and it's just like, what do you think that needs to happen for them to just be like, all right, it's time to move on? Like, they can't go to the Super Bowl with Andy Dalton, right?
No.
Right. It's time for them to get going. And, I mean, granted, A.J. Green has loved him. He favors the hell out of him. But it's just like, I don't understand what the Bengals want to do. I mean, Chris, put on your GM hat.
Is Andy Dalton better than Case Keenum?
No. I'll tell you why.
I mean, I don't think so.
Yeah, I'd say no. Case Keenum is taking a team to the NFC Championship.
And if Alex Smith was healthy, he'd go over him too.
Yeah, that's 20. So we're up to what, 22? Yeah, man, this isn't. So Bengals fans are like, well, Andy, he's fine. He does a decent job. But, like, man, if you really think about the numbers, like.
He's like a Joe Flacco level.
He's almost like a poor man's Alex Smith or poor man's Joe Flacco, if you can even be that. Like, that's almost impossible to be.
He's Flacco without playoff wins,
and,
I would say.
And there we go. And there's 23 quarterbacks better than him, because I think Flacco's better than Andy Dalton.
Yeah, yep.
Man, they got an interesting situation there. I'm nervous about whether – I just don't see a path for them. Maybe they should try to do what the Dolphins are doing. And they need to figure out whether they can get maybe like a Jake. See, I could see like Jake Fromm, because especially you, Charles, being in Georgia now, like that could be a good look for them. But I think it's just time.
I mean, in my time of watching Jake Fromm play, I almost feel like he is Andy Dalton, though.
And that may be okay for them, but he's a younger, cooler version. But maybe all right.
I mean, what he's done in college in the big games, you know, against Alabama and whatnot, is really like what Andy Dalton does in the NFL in those same type games.
He just gets the Steelers and Ravens, exactly. Chris, we can't talk about, so Andy Dalton, as we know that, we're just trying to find some silver lining. Is Joe Mixon their best player on the Bengals?
I mean, yeah, without a doubt. You got to say Mixon is their best player. I'll tell you what, though. I think as a football player, I think it's very close between Mixon and Tyler Boyd right now, just because you can't depend on A.J. Green at this point. I mean, every year he's out with some type of significant injury. So I got to go. Yeah, I mean, Mixon and Tyler Boyd, to me, I mean, not as a pit homer, but as a football player, I think it's very close, and that's all they got.
Yeah, that's how I'm looking at it, too. Charles, what are your thoughts on Mixon? Is he I think Mixon's a top 10 running back, though, in the league.
I mean, naturally, if A.J. Green could stay healthy, you know, he is the obvious choice. But as we always say, your best ability is availability. And the man's not always available. So, yeah, I mean, I'm right there with you. I mean, as much as I'm going to have to give credit to guys who played football at Oklahoma throughout this podcast, just know I'm not happy about it. So, yeah, it makes
sense of a player. Yeah, there it is. So, Bengals, right, let's put a bow on them in terms of record-wise, in terms of their over-under. The Bengals win 7 games this year.
What?
I'm starting high.
To be honest with you, you definitely are starting high.
I'm starting very high. That's all I'm saying.
You sound like you're high right now saying 7. That's what I thought you meant by when you said starting high.
Did the Bengals win 6 games?
Oh, God bless your heart.
I mean, they got the Cardinals at home, so there's one.
Kyler, if it's early in the year, though, and it's nice out, Kyler could have a party against a party. Yeah.
I think 5 is reasonable.
Okay.
That's a good number.
Okay, and the guys in Vegas have it as 5. Over-under is 5.5. And right now, I'm hitting the under too. I would do the same.
If they're gonna be like I said, like their thing is with their team right now, they're like devoid of talent. So like on a lot of these games, you know, any given Sunday approach, like they've lost before they got off the bus because from a talent standpoint, they're not even with these other teams. So like there's only like they really only have like 7 games where like the talent levels will be even. So yeah, it's gonna be a tough year for them.
I'd be shocked if they get anywhere close to shocked, I tell you. Chris, Vontaze Burfict or Skyline, what is worse in life?
Man, you're gonna put me on the spot with a big question like this that it's very tough. To be honest with you, I think I'm going, as much as I hate Vontaze Burfict, I'm going Skyline.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, it is so bad. To think that people actually like this and go out of their way to eat this stuff is just, I can't even imagine people to do that, but yet there's so many.
It's incredible. It really is. Charles, I know you have some thoughts. Go ahead.
I mean, what can be said about Skyline Chili that hasn't already been said about dog food?
We know that Vontaze Burfict is on the Raiders because, of course, Vontaze Burfict is on the Raiders. But we just wanted to mention them.
Chili. I don't understand how that's an Ohio thing, and there are no skylines in Ohio. I will say this. If this gets back to the Skyline people, we'll gladly let you sponsor us though. We'll eat that shit on the pod if you need us to. But until then, I'm making this. John Stewart had Arby's. I'm beefing with Skyline, and damn it, I'm gonna ride this out.
I don't get the cinnamon in there. Like I don't.
What
get
the
it.
Hell is that? What is that? What's up with that? What's up with the cinnamon? What's wrong with the consistency? Like I feel like if you poured Skyline chili through a drain, like through a strainer, it would all go through the strainer. Like no, there would be no meat. It's God.
That gotta be a meat substitute. I don't even think that gotta be a meat substitute. That's not real meat. There's no way that is real meat at Skyline. And what, like you said, what happened to chili powder? Why do we need cinnamon?
Oh man, just incredible. I mean, what they next thing you know, they're gonna have some nutmeg, some cocoa or something on there, trying to dunch it up. Cinnamon, unbelievable. Can't do it. No way. So there we are. So Charles, I guess we'll do this. If the Bengals win 7 games, we have to do a video, and we have to have you as a, do an Instagram story of you eating a 3-way Skyline. Are you willing to do it?
Yeah, it's easy work. Yeah.
Okay.
Fair.
This is 7 games in season only, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, okay.
So if the Bengals get the 7 wins, then you would have, then if the Bengals get the 7 wins, you have to have a 3-way.
That's fair. I'll do that. We'll do that. That's easy work.
Okay. And we have to have it on. We have to get it on video.
I will eat my words. I will eat my words.
Literally.
7 wins. Oh.
Yeah. All right. There we go. Just throwing it out there. I'm trying to. I mean, obviously, that would them having to be playing way above their means. But we don't think it's going to happen. So now this
You're
is
not
a team.
Counting preseason, are you?
No, sir. No, sir. Okay. No, sir. No, sir. Just like we aren't counting Daniel Jones and his perfect drive, and we're not really caring about Dwayne Haskins' 2 picks. But, you know, Charles thinks that he should have started an NFL a fantasy draft last Monday, so who's to know anything?
Joe Theismann was a bum.
The next team we'll talk about is actually down 90
in slander out here.
90 miles.
Washington football team slander.
90 miles away from a team that is not only one but 2, 3 Lombardi trophies in terms of our I-95 compatriots in Baltimore and the home and a 2-time winning Super Bowl champion, the Baltimore Ravens. Shout out to I think we all can agree here, especially Chris, like with you as a Steelers guy, and I can't wait to really get into the rivalry a little bit. But Ed Reed, I mean, that little if y'all saw the U video of him, the like 2-minute, I was just like, he is literally one of the best football players we've ever seen, ever. I'm going to leave it at that. That's my opinion. What are your thoughts on Ed, Chris?
You know, one of the greatest rivalries ever. If there's 2 football players that I respect, it's Ray Lewis and Ed Reed.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I mean, you talk about guys that just brought it every Sunday. Without a doubt, Ed Reed to me. Look, I'm one of the most realistic Pittsburgh fans that you'll ever meet. So I'm not going to go homer on you at any point. I think Ed Reed was a better safety than Troy Polamalu.
Wow. Okay. Man, the Troy leaps.
I mean, that's one of my favorite Steelers of all time. But, like, I think Ed Reed was a better football player.
Charles, where are you at on that?
Wholeheartedly agree.
Ed was so unbelievable. He's great. It's hard not to like Ed. It really is.
I feel like in a lot of ways, I would say they're, you know, even when they were playing at the same time, they're even on some level. But then the fact that Troy Polamalu just was always hurt, and Ed Reed was always out there doing what he was doing, that's the tiebreaker.
That's real.
Ed Reed's better.
Okay. Well, that doesn't get wanted to obviously talk about him, and congratulations for his Hall of Fame induction, and thought his speech was great. And let's get it back to the guy who coached him most of his career, and that's with our man John Harbaugh. Is he the best coach in the division? Chris, I'll have you go first.
Listen, my guy Mike Tomlin is the best coach in the division.
I
think at the end of the day, I think people give Tomlin too little credit, managing, you know, for what people really didn't know about, you know, Brown and Bell and having to put up with them per Rooney's orders. I guess we'll probably get into that a little more with the Steelers talk.
Yes.
But I'm still going with my guy, Mike. Look, you can check the numbers, man. I mean, still going with my guy, Tomlin.
John Harbaugh or Mike Tomlin?
I'm going to lean Mike Tomlin. Yeah. I think they're both good coaches. They're just thinking different ways. I think, I think they're different. They're alike and different. I feel like they're, like, yeah. I don't know how to really articulate the words. I think Harbaugh might be a little bit more of a better tactical at actually coaching football. I think Tomlin might be a little bit better at understanding people and getting people to getting the best out of people. So I think they're a little bit things. I think I really like how Harbaugh has he's the adult in the room. He's very like drill sergeant-y. I kind of get that vibe from him. Like when he walks in the room, when he yells at people, he has a certain command of him. And I feel like Tomlin's the type of dude that puts his arms around players and talks to them. And that's how he understands them. So, I mean, I would rather, if I say all that to say, if I had my choice, I'd rather play for Tomlin. So I guess that makes him a better coach to me.
And we're talking about, in my opinion, two of the top six coaches in football. So, I mean, we're picking heirs there. I mean, Chris, I think that you would even be, that wouldn't be too hard for you to say in terms of who we're talking about here.
No, I mean, I agree on that. And also, I agree with Charles. You know, it's I'm not saying that Harbaugh – I think Harbaugh is a great football coach. He's one of the top – coaches in the league, but like Charles said, like they lead differently. You know, they're two different types of head coaches, and I 100% agree that Tomlin may not be, you know, the greatest X's and O's football guy in the building, but man, like that's a dude I'm going to the foxhole with. You know, his son Mason played for me this past April.
Okay.
Before he started taking his football visits, and Tomlin he traveled with us to every tournament, and I'll tell you what, man, like. One of the most down-to-earth guys I've ever met, you know, just acted, you know, acted like one of the other parents. And he gets the most out of his guys. I think it's proven. And I think they're going to see it even more this year now that the drama's over.
Mm-hmm. And so that leads us to the Ravens. They've been a model of consistency.
Before we get to the Ravens, let me piggyback on that a little bit. Big year for Juju. Big year for Juju. Great.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll cover that in a little bit here. I absolutely agree. We're definitely going to be touching on him. Ozzie Newsome, when you think about the Ravens, he's literally been there since the beginning with them. Are they going to miss him a little bit, Charles, and the makeup of the team?
I mean, yeah, anytime you lose somebody like that, that's really, you know, a part of the core and the fabric of what you do, I mean, it's definitely going to be an adjustment. But, I mean, naturally, you know, other guys, you know, next man up and, you know, it's a new year and guys are going to, you know, different people are going to have to step up and have their voice heard and feel that's an opportunity for, you know, somebody else to step up. So, I mean, it's sports. I mean, whether that person's not on the team via trade or they retire or, you know, whatever the case may be, I mean, the train keeps moving. So, I mean, they'll adjust, they'll move on and they'll find their way.
I'll tell you what, if there's one person that will not miss Ozzie, it's me and all the others, because it seemed like every year, you know, 3-4 times a draft, there'd be a player that I had my eye on when I'm watching, and I'm saying to myself, man, the Ravens are going to get this dude like 3 picks before us. And every year it happened. So I'm actually glad that he's gone, but I think it's going to hurt the Ravens.
Yeah, I think it is going to hurt him, and I think one of his lasting legacies, and I think he's going to be judged by, is him picking on good Lord, Lamar Jackson. And Charles, what do you think about his ceiling? I think it's kind of interesting that RG3 kind of is backing him up there. But where do you see him eventually? How do you think he'll do as a full-time starter this whole year? Does he make it healthy through year two?
Yeah, I mean, hopefully they don't run him nearly as much as they did last year. I think they need to give him an opportunity to throw the ball. Like, I don't understand. He has this huge knock that he can't throw. I think it's more he's gonna learn how to read defenses, but I always thought that was one of like the Bobby Petrino things that was so great about Bobby Petrino was he ran this this pro level offense and it was good for quarterbacks, like, you know, when Brian Brown was there at Louisville the first time he was there and things of that nature. Like, I thought that's what Bobby Petrino did. And if you watched college football his last 2 years and you compare them against Baker Mayfield's last 2 years, he was better than Baker Mayfield. Bar, like, hands down, like, the numbers don't lie. So, like, I don't know why, and he made the playoffs. Baker didn't make the playoffs, and yet it seems like his people grade his ceiling lower than they grade Baker's. And Lamar Jackson has literally been better than him at every level that I've seen. For the last 3 years, Lamar Jackson has been a better quarterback than Baker. So I would at least say, at the bare minimum, his ceiling has to be as high as Baker's in my mind.
Chris, you've seen this guy up close and personal. What's your take?
Listen, I'm not buying into this whole narrative that Lamar Jackson and a good thrower of the football. I'm not buying it. You know, he wasn't preparing in training camp last year to be the starter. You know, he's getting BS rep. He's getting reps with the second team. Flacco's out there like a prima donna, you know, getting all the reps. This is his year. And I like – one thing I feel like that hurts him is Hollywood Brown being out, because I like what they're putting around him, you know, in guys that can get open in tight spaces.
Yes.
They can really make plays. Look, I love – in fantasy. Speaking about fantasy football, I love him and his upside in fantasy football because people are really down on him. outside of this team, I'm worried about the most in the division is the Baltimore Ravens, because I really like Lamar Jackson this year. I think he's going to prove people wrong. And he's another guy like Jameis Winston who I think is an underrated leader.
Well, there that is with them. So I guess with the Ravens, the over-under for them is currently, Charles, I'll let you make a guess. What do you think the Ravens over-under is?
8.5.
Good guess. It's 9. 9 wins. So you, in order for you, say you were betting, if you had to bet $120 to make 100, if you were one who would think that it would be over 8.5.
Yeah, I mean, they got the Dolphins and the Cardinals to start. So, I mean, they're coming out the gate 2-0 if they got their shit together. Very favorable schedule. They're gonna have to go to Buffalo in December. That's never fun. But relatively speaking, seems like a manageable schedule. Got some tough road games. They got the Seahawks on the road, got the Rams on the road. But I mean, they get the Patriots at home. So I mean, they'll have some opportunities. And yeah, the 8-9, you know, their usual fighting for a wild card while also fighting for the division title at the same time. Seems like, you know, the usual.
And here's my thing, too. Like, you know, you mentioned those tough road games, but this offense kind of, to me, is built to travel. You know, okay. You've got Mark Ingram in the backfield. You got Lamar Jackson, who's going to run that thing freaking 14, 15 times a game, it seems like. You know, this is it. And if he starts throwing the football and developing a little bit with all these team reps and the confidence, just the confidence in knowing he's the guy right now through training camp, I just think that the Ravens are going to be dangerous.
Very interesting. Okay. Going from there. Soft schedule to start, for sure. Soft schedule, indeed. But there's a path. I mean, Chris, would you say that the Ravens are going to make the playoffs?
I mean, this is where my homerism comes in a tiny bit, because I think the Steelers are going to win the division, especially after this whole rallying around Coach Drake and all this stuff. I think they're going to get in is the wild card and be very, very dangerous.
I got to make sure we handle that and when we come back and bring you on in about 6 weeks and just as a check-in to see how things are. So it'll be good. Charles, Ravens, playoffs, yes, no?
I got the Ravens fighting for fighting for the wild card, but not making it.
Okay. All right. There it is. Interesting times for them. I think this is going to be a transition. Hopefully, they aren't transition coaches. Maybe that'll be good for some of our other AFC North in terms of loyalists. And I'm sure there's a team up there in the Northeast Ohio who would like to see that happen for a myriad of reasons. But I think we aren't even going to really give you a specific topic, but it's time to just talk about the Baker Mayfield-led Browns, and it feels so good to say that, knowing that Marvin didn't even want to get my man almost saying that he had to fight for the backup job last year on Hard Knocks. That's when I knew it was over for Hugh Jackson. Good Lord. I knew it was a wrap then. How could he not just see the greatness of Baker? I'm going to just tell y'all right now, I'm going to say a couple statements, and I know both of y'all are not even remotely on the same page as me. But I think Baker has it. Like, he's super special. And I think those guys are getting around him. I think it was a big thing that, like, Jarvis Landry welcomed him so quickly. Granted, Baker made sure that his mouth was getting fed. But Charles, those LSU receivers, back then they were making average quarterbacks look special. And Baker, there's nothing average about Baker. He's got a chance. With those guys, I don't think Njoku's going to be like maybe the fantasy breakout that people think he's going to be. Those guys are going to be open. Chubb, and I think it's really cool because I think, well, not cool, but in my opinion, I definitely think the Chiefs would have beaten the Patriots if they had Kareem Hunt. And now Kareem Hunt's going to Cleveland. They just have an unbelievable arsenal of weapons. And I just don't see it how if – I think the Browns are making the playoffs. I'm going to put it there. The floor is yours now.
I mean, I don't have them making the playoffs.
Shocker. Go ahead.
No, it's not even that I don't believe in the process or the talent or any of that. I do believe in all of those things. It's just I can totally see Baker throwing for 40 touchdowns, Odell having 15 touchdown catches, Landry having like 11, them both having 15 yards receiving, Baker having 4,500 yards, you know, passing or whatever the fuck he has, and them still being 9-7 and like fighting for the wild card. Like, I don't think, I just don't, like, people got to pump the brakes. Like, we live in the world now where the Clippers have never won shit, and we're just putting the Clippers up on the top of the mountain, even though we've never seen the Clippers win a damn thing. Now, we just sat here and watched the Browns be horrible, horrible for like the vast majority of everybody listening to this adult life. And somehow, without playing a game, just because they traded for a couple people, which we haven't seen on the field in a live action game, in a real game yet, we're just anointing the Browns as like that deal. They're the fucking Browns, guys. They're still the Cleveland Browns until otherwise. They can like get dope Nike jerseys, and they can get cool visors. They can have like the nice orange visors now. They can have all that shit, and they're still the Cleveland fucking Browns.
I tell you what, you know, I go on other podcasts, and they have strict rules about cussing. But after all this cussing, thank fucking God that I know that I could cuss right now. Because listen, the Browns, I haven't been worried about the Browns since Eric Metcalf was returning punt. Like, that's the last time that I took the Browns seriously was when Eric Metcalf was returning punts. Like, come on, man. The Browns have won nothing, like Charles said, nothing. And all of a sudden, like, we're bringing in Odell Beckham. Like, okay, that's great. Like, the defense still is not good. I don't care what anybody says, that defense is not good. And when it comes down to stopping somebody in December, hey, you want to take the Browns, you take the Browns. I'm going to make so much money on the Browns the first 5 weeks of the season because the lines are going to be so inflated. It's going to be insane. All right, the Browns are going to, like Charles said, 9 wins, fighting for the playoffs, that's it. See you next year.
Their over-under is 9.4, excuse me, 9.5.
Under all day.
Wow.
Yeah, I would take the under on that as well.
9-7.
Yeah.
I'm going over, and I think they're going to win 10. I think that's going to get them in. I'm not willing to say they're going to win a division. The Browns are not going to win the division. I thought they may, and I thought they had a chance. But I'm going to tell you what, it made me think a little bit with them, and knowing that Tyrod Taylor took y'all to overtime. But Bake, I don't know. I like Watt on the Steelers. We're going to transition to them here in a second. Obviously, I can't wait to even hype that man up here in a little bit. But Devin Bush, and I'm kind of mad that all the media is all over him now, because I'm like, I've been knowing Devin Bush has been that dude for three years running. Bucket Defensive Player of the Year in the Big Ten, go Blue. So it is. But that's they have somebody, because if Bush and Shazier were there, then, oh my gosh, there'd be problems. But if they can neutralize him, they're going to be able to. They're going to play the Steelers well. Actually, I'm calling for a split, and I'm willing to take any bets on it right now. I think the Browns and Steelers will split this year.
Oh, that's fair. I mean, they split with them even when the Browns are terrible. Like, it's still a division game.
Ben doesn't lose to Cleveland often.
But it's still a division game, man. You know, those games are...
Yeah, I mean, the Browns could be, you know, 0-15, and the Steelers could be 15-0, and I'm still worried about that game.
Yeah, they're feisty. Their game's always a little feisty, a little chippy, and, yeah. You know. Ben's bound to throw a pick six or fumble for a fucking defensive touchdown. Like, he's good for one of those in those games.
Where are we at on Chubb? Chubb can Chubb be a Pro Bowler? What are your thoughts?
Oh, man, I like Chubb. I think I'm not as worried about Kareem because as many people, because I think Chubb is that good.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, I'm right there. I was a huge Chubb fan when he was with Sonny Michel, when he was with Ty Gurley at Georgia. I mean, and he finally got to the league and showed what he could do. I mean, yeah, it's more a matter of if he's going to get enough carries. I think if he can be a Pro Bowler if he gets enough carries, but if he's splitting carries with Hunt and, you know, or whatever, then I know they just traded Duke Johnson, thank God, but if he gets enough touches, yeah, he'll definitely be a Pro Bowler in my book. I think their offense is going to be, like, prolific. I just don't think they're going to win.
And Myles Garrett, top 10 defensive player in the world now. Are we willing to go there?
I wouldn't go top. Okay, we just did this for quarterbacks. Let's do this for Myles Garrett real quick. Let's name 10 people better than him, if it's possible. Bobby Wagner, Aaron Donald.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. J.J. Watt.
Leo Mack, J.J.
Is J.J. Clowney better than him? Hold on. Hell no. Hell no, Myles Garrett's definitely better than actually. You need to ask the question about JJ. Once again, we're talking about availability. Myles had a great camp.
He's not better than Jalen Ramsey.
I mean, you said Khalil Mack, right? Is he better than Keekly?
Oof, another guy got to be available. Keekly's got to be available. But yeah, I mean, Khalil Mack.
Vaughn Miller?
I think those are the only, those two guys with Donald. So I'm not going to call Donald a pass rusher, but those are the only guys that I can see better than Myles Garrett right now, fellas. I think Myles Garrett's better than like Jalen Smith. Is Shel Fletcher Cox? Yeah, but I think Myles is better than
that. Yeah, okay. I mean, he's in that range. Well, you have him 12. He's in that range.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking about with him. I know we mentioned Bobby Wagner.
Yeah, for sure, Bobby Wagner.
Yeah, I mean, that's another thing. You got to make sure your line's right. Can't be missing tackles. I mean.
Oh, Von Miller.
Yeah, we say Von. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think Myles is maybe in that Fletcher Cox, better than Melvin Ingram, but not by much.
Yeah, like you said, 8 to 12.
Yeah. I don't know. I find it hard as the Jaguar in me. It's hard for me to say that Myles Garrett's better than like Calais Campbell.
You know what? Now Charles is really selling me just because of the, you know, he's a young guy and there's just a lot of dudes who have done it now that I think about it.
Myles is better than Calais Campbell.
All right. I got so much. Like, when we get to the Jags, whenever that day happens, like, I'm going to get all this out. So I'm holding it tight.
All right. Well, hold on tight. That's fine. Hold on tight to you also not hoping the Bengals win 7 games. So you eating that skyline.
Can I get chili? I want chili dogs at least on the side. Oh, God. Why? Why the noodles? Why?
I was just going to say that. Why spaghetti? Never in my life have I ever eaten chili on spaghetti in Pittsburgh.
Man, I don't know. I don't know. That's up to them. But
it clearly sounds like whoever invented Skyline Chili was high. Let's just be honest. Like, they need to admit it and be done with it. Because no sober person would think to put fucking noodles with chili and cinnamon. That's not the thoughts of a sane.
Yeah, you're high. Listen, person, you're high.
He's high, or that person's a sociopath, and we need to look them up because they're a threat to us all.
Yeah, like, I'm thinking about alerting Homeland Security right now.
Jesus.
I'm going to go here. If you all indulge me for a little bit, because I will be the Cleveland Browns apologist here. I'm not just buying in the hype. I really think that. I think they have a top 10 quarterback. I know they have a top 5 receiver. Actually, I think they have 2 top 9 receivers, potentially top 8. And I think they have a top 10 to 12 running back, and maybe the best running back duo if they are available and healthy, and also not in trouble with Roger Goodell. But so that brings me to this. I think the Browns schedule here, they have Tennessee at home. That's a win. Jets on the road. A little Baker versus Sam Darnold in New York. I think Baker going to put on a show. Monday Night Football 2-0. Rams at home. Sunday night game in Cleveland. Oh, Lord. Sunday night game in Cleveland. Good God. They are really enthralled with the Browns here. Then they're at Baltimore. Let's just call that their first 4-game stretch 2-2. I will be shocked if 1-3. And I will be pleasantly surprised if it's 3-1. Then at San Francisco, I'm going to go win versus Seattle. Depends. This goes to what Charles was saying on Monday. Seattle always loses to a team they're not supposed to lose to, and this may be one of the. Then they have a bye week before at New England. Patriots win. Then they're at Denver. I'd say Browns win that. Buffalo at home. Browns win. Steelers at home. Thursday night game. Pittsburgh, depending on where they're coming off of, but it's at home. I'm going to go the Browns there. Dolphins at home. That's a win. At Pittsburgh, loss. They're sweeping Cincinnati. Fellas, the Browns are winning 10 to 11 games. Y'all better look at the schedules and make some money. I'm just letting you know this right now. They're going to win, and they have, and they're wonderful. They played the Bengals twice in the last month. That's a recipe for success. And Arizona also is there. The Baker versus Kyler Murray game. Fellas, get that hate out your heart. It's happening. The Browns are making the playoffs, fellas. It's happening.
Man, you're giving some games that I can't just give. Can I see Derrick Henry running for 130 yards in opening week? Sure.
You're drunk.
I'm on beer 4, actually, but.
Yeah. At New York. And that's what I'm saying. I'm going to give him 2-2.
I'm saying, like, at Mile High is not a guaranteed win either.
Depends on who's quarterback. Joe Flacco, Browns handle him.
I'm just saying, Von Miller's still on the field. Ain't nothing the strip sack can't change. So I'm just saying, like, they're I don't like to just, you know, sign off road games. I feel like every team has every. I feel like every team loses an inexplicable road game every year.
I got them losing to Pittsburgh.
That's not inexplicable. I'm talking about one that they weren't looking for. Patriots ran, get smacked by 30 on the road.
Or they can come out if the really good teams win that one on the road when they have to. The only thing that could be an issue, because I don't see them, it's not like they're going to be coming off the New England loss, and they're not going to be looking forward to next week with Buffalo. So, but fellas, it's all right. It's okay. I'm looking forward to being a part of the discussion. The Browns will be in the playoffs. And it'll be a beautiful life for our friends from Northeast Ohio.
Also, too, you always got to watch anytime the game after they play the Steelers or the Ravens. You know how all teams are a little beat up after they play each other. So you always got to be a little cognizant of that.
Yeah, they have to play at Baltimore, then at San Francisco. That's where that could be two losses. So maybe they're 2-3. Then they got Seattle at home. Yeah, 10-6. 10-6 feels good. 11-5 would be fantastic for them. But I think 10-6 is in. And that transitions. Yeah, that transitions us to, I think, the team that's going to win the division. And that's because, to quote the great philosopher, Mr. Wayne, Lil Wayne, as he says, that real G's move in silence like lasagna. And this is what I think the Steelers are doing. All this, they got L. Bell gone. He did whatever. Good for him. He stuck to his guns. What to give. So you support that man on the side as him as a person. I think the best route runner in football since Jerry Rice is now in Oakland and eventually will be the face of the Vegas, and he fits that mold greatly. Now from a playmaker's perspective, yeah, Ben's going to miss that, but maybe it's in a addition by subtraction. But it is what it is. Antonio Brown's one of the best route runners since we've ever started watching the game of football. However, their culture may be just right. James Conner, Pit Boy, Chris, I'm going to stop talking about them. And that's because I just have so much respect in terms of what you bring to the knowledge every Sunday. I follow you on Twitter when we're talking about the Steelers. I love hearing you after on a Monday, we at win or lose. And I'm going to just leave it to where Devin Bush is going to be in the realms of Mean Joe Green for you. That's how good I think this kid is going to be. And I'll leave it to you, sir. Give us some preview on the Steelers.
You know, first of all, I want to say, man, different vibes surrounding them.
Okay.
In training camp. And it's noticeable in a long time. But look, I'll be honest with you. When I was watching that draft, you know, you're talking about Devin Bush. I was very skeptical when he came out with that fit, the fade, the ponytail. Like, I was very hesitant.
Yeah.
But man, that you look at that tape from that first game, the dude is a baller. Like, I tell you what, he's going to end up to be one of the best two players in this draft, and that's not even being a homer. I think the kid is special. I think the kid is going to be better than Shazier. I really like him. I really liked him at Michigan, and I was glad that they got him. I'm glad they whatever they could to move up and get him. But as far as Antonio Brown goes, you know, I feel like Brian Clark said it best, you know, when he got money, started moving different.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, but the one thing was, I feel like Tomlin handcuffed from Rooney, you know, and wanted, you know, he had to treat him a certain way, you know, oh, you know, we can't say this to AB and do that to AB. Coming from higher above. You know, everything swept under the carpet, especially with the local media, just because, you know, if the Rooneys float something to the media around here, like, it's going to happen. If they don't want them saying anything about AB, it's going to happen. But I think it got to a point last year at the week of the Cincinnati game where Tomlin just had enough. You know, he was tired of it. When AB quit on the team, you know, he pretty much he let everything go. And I think it's going to be – listen, Le'Veon Bell, like, he wanted his money. As stupid as the decision he made at the end of the day, he reset the market not in the favor of running backs from what he did. I respect it because it was all about the money. Antonio Brown, like, I don't even know what it was about. Like, I'm not saying that Ben had no blame. Roethlisberger definitely has blame. But at the end of the day, he's a franchise quarterback, and we know how the NFL works.
Yep.
But Antonio Brown has been acting crazy since, you know, he got that contract that Mike Wallace turned down. So I think it's just was a culmination of everything. Tomlin said, I'm fed up with it. The Steelers were fed up with this. And Antonio Brown thought that he was going to go somewhere, force his way out, and the grass was going to be greener. But now I think he's seeing that it's probably not going to be greener being in Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
Ball's thrown from Derek Carr as opposed to Roethlisberger. But, I mean, I don't know how you guys feel, but I think Antonio Brown's still going to be a top, you know, 10 to 12 receiver. But I don't think he's going to put up the numbers that he did in Pittsburgh because, number one, I mean, Roethlisberger was forcing passes to him for a long time. So, I mean, I don't know how much John Gruden is going to tell Derek Carr to force footballs to him or not. But it's going to be very interesting because the drama is already starting in Oakland and the National League is talking about it.
Mm, that's pretty comprehensive right there. Charles, drop us some knowledge. I'm assuming that you have the Steelers as your pick to win the division.
Yeah, I mean, the Steelers, like, at a certain point in this league, these blue blood franchises, like, the Patriots and the Packers and the Steelers and the Cowboys and, you know, all the other teams are extra. Like, these are the core franchises, and I feel like, you know, the Steelers are just always going to be around. They're always going to be in the mix, whether, you know, it's Tomlin's the coach or Bill Cowher's the coach or whoever's the coach. They're always going to be in the mix. It's just the way they are. That's the way they've been since the 70s, and it just is what it is. So, I mean, they already got a foundation. They're proven with the guys they do have, even though, you know, Connor's a new guy. I mean, he still played last year. Juju stepping into that number one spot, but at least he played last year. And, you know, Ben's on his last legs, but I think he's got enough with, you know, these young guys. I feel like the young guys will reinvigorate him, especially, you know, just off taking that weight off his shoulders of what he was dealing with last year. As much, you know, even if he was at fault, you know, it doesn't matter who's to blame in that situation. It still weighs on you. And for that to not be around will definitely benefit them. And like I said, the brevity of having – you know, those young guys around, once they bounce back from the wide receivers coach dying, I think they'll really galvanize themselves and put it together. And, I mean, they got to, like, I think, you know, if you look at their schedule, I think they're going to start off a little slow, but they end the season with the Cardinals, the Bills, the Jets, and the Ravens to finish the season. So, but they got, in three out of four weeks, they have the Cardinals, the Bills, and the Jets. So, I mean, if they have a slow start and they're fighting for wins and they're fighting for the division towards the end of the season, they got some really favorable games that might be able to push them over the top. So I think they're going to be, you know, in jockeying, maybe figuring out who they are without AB and, you know, without these pieces. But once they find themselves, and especially with that schedule to help, I think they'll be just fine.
Mm, look at you going out and getting more talent, contracting that work, look, man. So I looked at the Steelers schedule. Chris, I don't see more than four losses. Five is a stretch, but over-under's at nine. Go make money, America. Take the over in the Steelers. Just do it.
Yeah, I mean, 100%. I feel like right after the schedule release, I was on a podcast for, like, way too early NFL prediction.
Yeah.
And I had the Steelers at 12-4. I really think they're going to hit that over, and they're going to have a big year. Like, the team chemistry right now, for some reason, like, is noticeable at camp, and the camaraderie and all that stuff for so short a time is insane. And a guy that I really like, I've liked him, he's coming out of Ole Miss, is Dante Moncrief. I think he's going to have a big year as the number two guy because him and Ben have developed some chemistry in camp that's pretty good.
He likes big receivers and big targets. Moncrief a couple years ago was fantastic for Luck. Yeah, that's a great look. Absolutely. And I think, man, James Washington, okay. I know it's the preseason thing, but, I mean, you cannot argue with the results that he produced at Oklahoma State. He's got a guy who will get him the ball down the field. Big Ben loves the big deep ball. It is what it is, man. I think the Steelers just got – this will be good also because I'm tired of – we need to – let's call this also. Mike Tomlin's a Hall of Famer, and I'm tired of people calling for his head every other week up where you live, Chris. What the hell, man? Y'all always trying to get rid of something good.
Look, I've been one of the biggest Tomlin defenders, supporters, but, you know, if we're being flat out real, listen, if Tomlin was white, there wouldn't be anybody saying shit.
Mm.
If we're being 100% real.
I was going to say it. I was literally thinking of the words to say it, but continue.
No, I mean, yeah, I mean, you don't got to think of the words. There is no other words to say it. If Tomlin was white, you know, it's like Matthew McConaughey in A Time to Kill. You know, like think of all the Steelers wins right now. Now close your eyes and imagine Mike Tomlin was white.
With by the way, great movie reference. Chris is allowed on the bad anytime.
I just said this year, I was like, the two biggest hires in the NFL were like Cliff Kingsbury and Adam Gase. Like, imagine firing Tomlin and having your choice between one of those two. Like, come on, man.
I'll tell you this right now. As a guy who's once again down the beltway a bit, you know, as a Washington fan, Washington football team, if they decided that Gruden was gone and I knew that anything was happening with Mike Tomlin, shoot, I'd offer the man the whole situation.
There would be 30 Steelers fired him today. There'd be 30 teams lining up right
Lining up. And honestly, Kraft, if he really had a problem with Belichick and just because if he had to really choose between him and Tommy, shoot. Don't think the Kraft wouldn't pick up Mike Tomlin right quick and just be like, yeah, all you got to do is make sure Tom plays a little bit. Oh, yeah. He would have definitely adopted that. So we don't want people to think we're just this is all Steelers loving, but we're also here to give you the facts and the real. Can the Steelers go to the Super Bowl with this team? A lot of things would have to shake out. I think they can be. Don't know our power to tip for tat for Kansas City. But
I mean, I think they have a chance. I mean, I think there's, you know, four or five teams in the AFC that – I think there's four or five teams that are very eager to go to the Super Bowl, and I think the Steelers are one of them. I'm just not sure how people on a national level feel about that.
Charles, go ahead.
I think in that top tier of teams, I would put them towards the lower end. I think of them in that same group that Chris thinks of them in. I just think of them as in that lower end, like almost down there with like the Chargers. Like, because there's always this ticking time bomb. One, like, I'm a Jags fan. The Jags own the Steelers, so there's always that. We'll get into that. I mean, when we get into playoff things, if we play the Steelers and if the Jags play the Steelers, the Jags are going to win because Ben Roethlisberger is going to throw three interceptions.
Yeah, whether it's David Garrard, Blake Bortles, Nick Foles, it doesn't matter.
I don't know. I don't even know historically how that happens, but we own the Steelers. But I just think there's always a game, and I think, you know, even when you're looking at the schedule prediction, there's one game that Ben's going to throw three interceptions in, and they're going to lose it. They have no business losing because he's forcing the ball. That happens every year. He's bound to do that once. So hopefully he does that once during the season. He doesn't do it during the playoffs. But I think that's for me, when I'm watching the Steelers, that's what's always in the back of my brain. It's just like, he's bound to do some dumb shit. And I feel like even when he's like, I feel the same way when I watch Jameis as I do when I watch Ben. Like, when they're doing well, I'm just waiting for the bad thing to happen. Because it's like, you can't keep throwing in the double coverage and thinking this is going to work. Okay, oh, you threw off three defenders, and now you're, and then the bad thing eventually happens. Like, I just feel like, in my back of my head, I just feel like that always is what comes. Like, as much as Ben's the reason why they get to these places, I feel like a lot of times, he's the one who kind of tricks off at the end. He just runs out of gas, and I feel like he'll run out of gas in one of these games and throw some lazy-ass pass. But that's just me, though.
These are all possibilities, and they need to be taken account for. So, yeah, I mean, you got an opportunity here. It's going to be fun to see. Definitely going to be fun to see, and I think that puts a bow on things with the AFC North. That was big that we got to have Chris on there. We're going to quickly give you say over unders in terms of NFC West AFC West. We want to make sure that we're covering the Broncos here, even though, man, John Elway, it's been a long time since you won that Super Bowl, brother. And let's be honest, that was at that goodwill of the hands of Peyton. Even though he did it hurt, but he's one of the few that can beat TB12 on the AFC Championship game. Got to give it to him for that. But the Broncos quickly over unders. Let's talk about this. Chris, give us 60 seconds on where you think Joe Flacco is in his career right now, and can he be of help to them?
You know, I mean, I think Flacco's a point where, you know, he's kind of more like a game manager. Game manager throw the deep ball a little bit. And I think if the running game, if Freeman and Lindsey can run the ball a little bit, you know, we all know that Von Miller's there and the Denver defense is always solid. They could be, you know, they could be a threat in the AFC West without a doubt.
Okay. Charles, Denver Broncos over under, my man. What do you have them at winning this year?
I give them a hot 7.
Okay. And the expected projection wins is 6.7. Currently, right now, they won six last year. I am going to take the under. I think they're going to come in right at six.
That's fair.
And then this is a team I have no idea about because it felt like they were ready for that next step. When they lost to this, I think they had an opportunity after they beat Chiefs on that Thursday night. It was a crazy finish. I thought they were going to have an interesting conversation with their in terms of, are they going to actually be able to get the Patriots this year? Is this Phillip Rivers? Is it his time? And, of course, then they shit the bed at home against the Ravens, but it kept them. They don't understand if, like, you have to get a bye in the AFC if you want to go win the thing. I really truly believe that now. You need a bye in order for you, because then you want to play Brady at the or Big Ben at the time of like where it's all for the marbles in terms of getting to go to the Super Bowl. But the Chargers, man, they're at 9.9. They were at 2018. They had 12 wins. Now they're at expected projected wins at 9.9. Are y'all taking the over or the under there?
I mean, every year I feel like everybody asks themselves, is this the Chargers year?
Right.
You know, it's
right.
The year they go to the AFC title game. Is right. This the year that they do this? And that's like the biggest sucker number, because the Chargers are always there, you know, playing for that 9-7 or that 10-6. That's a number that I would definitely lay off of. But if I had to bet it, I'd say 9-7 with Rivers, especially with Gordon's status. I mean, you know, Justin Jackson and Eckler are nice players, but Melvin Gordon makes a difference. And I'm going, you know, 9 if I got to think that he's even missing significant amount of time.
Yeah, I'm looking at 9-7 as well. I think they're going to get out to a hot start, though. I mean, they got the Colts in week one. Obviously, Andrew Luck, good possibility he's not going to play. They're at the Lions week two. So, I mean, Stat Padford can, you know, maybe put up some numbers, but he'll still lose. I mean, that's why we call him Stat Padford. But, I mean, then week three, home against the Texans. Week four, at the Dolphins. I mean, they can come out 4-0. Without much ease. I wouldn't be surprised if they were 4-0 after 4 weeks, and that would put them in great position. But I mean, they got some road games. They're at Tennessee, they're at Chicago, they're at Jacksonville. So I mean, they're gonna, you know, I always worry about West Coast teams, you know, on those East Coast trips. So it'd be interesting to see how they handle those. You know, like they're playing the Bears. They got a 1 o'clock start. You know what I mean? So yeah. You know, games like that are always interesting and can be a toss-up. So they're playing at Miami on 1 o'clock start. You know what I mean? So they got some games that, you know, with travel or whatever, for whatever reason. And, you know, we all know how the Chargers have been known to shit the bed before and just lay eggs. And Phillip Rivers, much like Big Ben, is good for a timely interception here and there. Even though he doesn't throw many, he sometimes has bad timing when he throws them. So, you know, 9-7 is legit. It could be worse if they don't get Melvin Gordon back. As much as I hate how they make it seem like, I understand like the salary cap and, you know, you don't want to overpay for these people, but from a pure football standpoint, like they need Melvin Gordon. Like it might not work, you know, on the upstairs, but from a pure talent pool, and this is our guy, he's their best player. They need their best player. There's not a team in any sport that couldn't use their best player and is going to be a worse off team without him. So, you know, you can't replace your best player. Like, no, you can't. That's what makes him your best player. So they need to get that situation fixed, or, like I said, that 9-7 is going to drop to maybe a 7-9.
You know, listen, the only way that any of these situations are going to get fixed is the next collective bargaining agreement. These rookie contracts are actually killing running backs.
Yes.
You know, because, you know, they can keep them for, you know, $8.75 an hour for I don't know how many years, and then tag him and keep him under control, and then throw him away, and nobody else wants anything to do with him. Whereas it's different for every other position, and it's crazy. And I think that got to be one of the first things brought to the table. These rookie contracts will control these guys, because it kills running backs and hurts them. That's just my opinion.
Oh, I agree with you. They're getting fucked in. You know, I don't always agree with their stance, and because I like I said, I generally feel like when people hold out, it just you put your no matter how much you're working out, you're generally putting your body at risk because you're not, you're just not getting in game shape, and you can't replicate practice in those game reps. Exactly. So I always worry about people holding out from that standpoint. But I totally understand the plight that they're in, and you know, there's got to be something to be done. And you're right, that collective bargaining needs to be fixed, and players they need to fight for the running backs.
No one to blame but themselves. They signed that. If they were willing to hold out, you know what I'm saying? And that's what it is. And Ryan Clark, another guy, shout out again to going back with the Steelers in their situation. But he was one who didn't sign it. And he said he was going to be up against it, no matter what, how it looked. Wasn't up there for solidarity. He was out there looking at these deals. And now he's, years later, being able to criticize it. And he can criticize it because he actually had a vote. In terms of Ryan Clark, he's able to be able to back it up because of what is happening, all because he was in the room and everything was going down. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. I think that's going to be a main thing. And Melvin Gordon's in, I don't know what they're going to do, man. I really don't. But with that being said, with us as Flyers and our claiming our fellow brethren, John Gruden, absolutely, is he the weirdest person in the NFL? I think so. He's awkward.
I thought you were about to ask, is he the weirdest dating person? And I was going to be like, not by a long shot.
No, there's definitely
Adam Gase got to be up there.
He's a fucking weirdo.
Those eyes and his little memes, I mean, damn. I don't know. He looks like he's on some 70s horror movie.
No, Gruden's crazier. Gase is creepier.
There it is. That's exactly right. Gase would definitely be in a lineup who's the guy who decided to go, you know, streaking out somewhere because he was, you know, high on meth or something. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if I see Gase in the lineup. Sir, where were you at 2 a.m., you know, in the middle? That guy is crazy. I don't know what it is. It just comes off weird. And also another thing, did y'all read the article that he goes back and apparently, like, has a note and tapes every single, and goes back and reviews every single play that happened the year before? That doesn't help you for next year in football. It just doesn't. And like what he does with every situation. Like, oh, this 3rd and 5, this is what I ran. And then, no. It's about, I don't get that. I thought it was.
Yeah, I mean, I heard about that. Like, he has all these for every day practice of every. Like you said, like, have those notes even been helpful? Like, how many playoff games has he won? Like, how many 7-9s has he had? Like, how much have his notes really been helping? Come on.
Yeah, I'm sure every coach watches every game after the season. Just, I feel like that would be useful just to see what worked and what didn't work. But like, if you're really harping on it and not he's taking all these notes, but he's not understanding why these things are happening.
Right.
Like there's no correlation between these notes. Like Chris was saying, there's no correlation between the notes and what's going on the field. So, I mean, it's no different. I mean, what are we going to hear that Cliff Kingsbury played bad in all summer? Like, I don't fucking know. So, I mean, it doesn't surprise me with anything a coach does. But he's so weird. Like, I mean, they went from Rex Ryan and his love for feet to Adam Gase. So, I mean, it's a very Jet kind of way of life.
No question there. The Raiders, Derek Carr, AB, can it work, Chris, long term? Short term, actually. Because I don't think we can do anything with AB long term, but short term.
Look, life comes at you fast, man. You know, one day you're catching footballs from Ben Roethlisberger. You know, the next day you're catching footballs from a dude who was crying in the huddle last year. I don't know what. Even his kids are looking for Big Ben. I mean, even AB's kids are wondering where Roethlisberger is at. Like, I just think I think at some point it's going to be Antonio Brown yelling at Derek Carr or yelling at somebody. Like, this guy's just thought he's been off the rockers for about a year and a half, 2 years now. It's already bad with the feet and the helmet in Oakland. I don't know. I mean, he's a very good football player. You know, don't get me wrong, but, I mean, he's on the wrong side of 30, correct?
Yeah, I believe so.
Absolutely.
So speaking of over-unders, what's the over-unders on games before he either gets in a shouting match with Gruden or a shouting match with Derek Carr?
1.5.
That seems fair. I was going to give it a preseason game, but okay.
You are being generous.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't even think
a third one. How long before the black hole turns on him or he turns on the black hole and is arguing with the fan?
I think that's going to be a while. I think they – nah.
All right.
Nah, I think it's just he's more internal team. I mean, he's gonna make plays.
He's definitely gonna make plays.
So
always booming.
Yeah, exactly. Chris, Chiefs best team in are the Chiefs the best team in the NFL?
Who's the best team in the NFL?
Are the Chiefs?
Are the Chiefs? I mean, yeah.
Actually, do you fear them the most of any team?
Yeah.
UFC? I think that's probably the better question. Charles, I know you have some thoughts, Chiefs.
I mean, you asked, did I think that were the Chiefs the best team in the NFL? What do people not understand? Did Tom Brady, did he die? Did he retire? Did his arm fall off? Did Belichick get dementia and forget how to coach football? Like, what? Nothing has changed here, people.
You are absolutely wrong on that, sir. And the guy who had actually the most, the touchdown ratio, Gronk being gone is a big deal.
That is a big deal. But so is Eric Berry being gone. And D4
being gone. He'll be back week 6. Don't worry. I mean,
oh, wow. You're one of those? You think Gronk is definitely coming back, Chris?
I mean, I think so.
I just think it's next man up. I think we'll make it work. It sucks that he's not there, but you know, we got the young boy from Arizona State. They got some other people. We're not getting to the AFC East yet, but just know, like, it's Tom Brady. I'm sorry, and I'm never gonna put my faith in a team that's coached by Andy Reid. I refuse to ever do that.
I agree. I mean, best team. I'm going Patriots without a doubt. But who I'm most scared of is the
Chiefs. Oh no, I see, and I think of the Patriots like the White Walkers, like they're just like winter's coming. There's nothing you can do to stop it.
Mm. And you know what? If you kill the Night King, then it's a wrap.
True indeed.
So we gonna keep it to that. That's where I'm at with. But
I just think this year, this like I've been saying, I've said to you privately often before. Like I just think the Chiefs are gonna take a step back. I think they'll still make the playoffs. But I don't think they're going to score nearly as many points.
Are they going to win their division? Are they going to win their division?
I do think they're going to win the division, but I don't think I don't think Patrick Mahomes is going to be the MVP again. I don't think he's going to throw 50 touchdowns again. That's more what I'm getting at. I think they're going to have to adjust. I think they're going to have to the defense is going to have to step up. It's not going to be a shootout every week like it was at points last year. I just think they're going to have to develop more as a team. I think Mahomes, the league is going to adjust them a little bit. And he's going to have I want to call it technically not a sophomore slump because this is his third season, but I think he's going to come back a little bit more to earth. He can't be that much better than everybody for like multiple years in a row. Like the league's going to somewhat correct. And we've seen this happen with too many other guys.
Okay. Let's talk when they're about to go for the number one seed again in some weeks to come. I'll make sure I'm writing these little notes down to make sure that we will revisit them. Excellent. Thank you very much for that. I think we covered the Chiefs there. Chris, who's representing the AFC in the Super Bowl?
Man, put me on the spot. You know what? I'm going to go with this whole luck thing threw me off. I would have said the Colts.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to stick with the Colts.
I don't think they can beat y'all, so I didn't see a chance for them to get there.
I don't want to say the Steelers, so I'm going to say the Colts.
Okay, that's fair. I understand you don't want to jinx it. That is, we're going to allow you to be able to duck and move from there. That's no problem. No problem. No problem. Charles.
Oh, man.
You know what, Charles? We'll wait. Because we haven't even talked about the Jags.
We haven't talked about the Jags. We haven't talked about the Pats.
Hope and a dream. You know, even though you need a Coke and a smile.
I love the Jags. I'll never believe in the Jags until I see it. Okay. Like, I've been through too much pain in my life, so I never get my hopes up.
We'll let it open to there. We have want to hold this one out. Obviously, greatly appreciate you guys vibing with us, talking about the over-unders and the feel of the teams. It's good to be able to talk it out loud, especially with somebody who's definitely as well-connected and heavily invested in the team. The Steelers are a flagship organization, franchise in all of sport. Doesn't matter about football, in all of sport, and potentially in any corporation in the world. So, glad for Chris to be on that. And I think one of the other now... They are the new America's team, in my opinion, and that's because the best player that we've ever seen in terms of the most accomplished player, we'll say that, the most accomplished player in Tom Brady represents them and the Patriots. And despite Bob Kraft and his little indiscretions and his parlor visits, Bob Kraft is a guy who gets it. And I'm so glad he made this connection with the guy who absolutely needs a whole makeover in terms of what he is, in terms of the public perception about the people that buy his product. But Howie's make this connection with Sean Carter and Roger Goodell, and obviously the Roc Nation and NFL partnership. I think it's monumental on many ways. I'm not here to pontificate on it. I just want to get people's general thoughts. Charles, start us off, man.
I mean, a major move by Jay. He normally is a very astute businessman and doesn't really make these type of moves without, you know, having a clear cut plan going into it. So I'm definitely interested to see what ideas he's going to bring to the table, what plans they have to enact, how they're going to. I think most importantly, hopefully, you know, they on some level are able to, you know, have a little bit of influence and the ability to hold the NFL accountable for some of the stuff that they do. But I mean, I can't get mad at Jay for making a deal, man. It's a good look for everybody. Hopefully it's not, like I said, it's not just a, you know, a paper partnership. It's a real tangible thing that they go out there and do. So we're going to see.
First, I want to thank Jay-Z. I want to thank Roc Nation. All these, you know, everybody for saving us from like Taylor Swift halftime shows, like all this bullshit. Like, shout out to Hove. Like, I love you. Like, look, changing the game for everybody that's tired of these bullshit halftime shows. Love it. I think this got to have nothing but good. And I think eventually Kaepernick got to be tied into. I only feel it coming. I know Eric Reed said that he's not involved. But I think that's possibly the next step, in my opinion. But, I mean, Hove's a businessman, like Charles said, and he knows what he's doing at this point.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. It's going to be great to see the continued evolution of the partnership and what it all is going to mean. Who's going to be doing the halftime? It's going to be great. Some lasting thoughts, Chris. For you, I want to make sure that we give you some time, any plugs that you have, and I can't wait for us to we're definitely going to bring you on in terms of the middle of the season when we want to bring in some football and some basketball. But any lasting thoughts, my man?
No, I mean, I'm glad that you guys brought me on. I feel like we, you know, great chemistry, this first pod,
yes,
jumping
sir.
On with you guys. But I can't wait to especially come on and talk maybe college hoops. A lot of palpable buzz around here with Coach Capel, the Pitt program on the up and up. I love it. I'm a season ticket holder.
That's what's up.
But another program that's going to make a lot of noise is our Flyers here. Love the roster. OB shooting up the draft boards right now, so I can't wait to get up on college hoops. And I haven't even gotten into NBA, so I'll quit right now so we can, you know, maybe end it and get me back on.
Oh, yeah, we definitely going to do that. I think it was wonderful. Charles, any give some lasting thoughts for the folks here and erroneous things that you may have thought that may have been happening on the pod that you want to cover?
I mean, I just can't wait till we talk about these the Washington team and these Jags. Oh, man, I can't wait. I have so many thoughts. Like, I want to start, like, the history. I want to talk about the Hogs. I want to get into all these things. So, we got four divisions down. We got four to go. Much more to come. And, like, it's good, man. Like, it's good to have Chris on here. Definitely going to have him back on. We can cover all things sports. So, oh, man, always a good time. I've managed through 3.5 beers right now. So it was a good night. It was a good time to pod. Had a couple Dos Equis and, you know.
We went from from a fast to a 3.5 Dos Equis night.
The fast was amazing, by the way, guys. I suggest everybody try. I tried a 36-hour monk fast the other day. It was amazing. Just all water for 36 hours. My body feels amazing. That's why I had the beer. I'm not going to lie. That's why I had the beer, because I felt like I had deserved one.
Chris, tell everybody where they can find you via Instagram, Twitter, and then Charles will have you do the same and where people can find the pod. Chris, go ahead first.
Yeah, I mean, you can just find me at Chef Warzoo on Twitter. I really Instagram all that much, so Chef Warzoo on Twitter. I'm on the Donut Bag podcast. You know, I can't even remember what podcast I've recently been invited on, but I'll tell you what, one of my all-time favorites right here. I'm glad you guys invited me on.
They're going to get it. We're going to keep it going. We're going to get you part of the gram, too. We got to make sure we're hyping you up. We're going to convince you that we can make things more private, etc. But we'll get you rolling on that. And obviously, Chris, once again, a shout out also to you and your family. I know you got the little ones coming up, and especially getting into more of the sports world. So thinking about you there, man. Just want to give you that.
Appreciate you.
Yep, yep. Charles, let everybody know where they can find you and also where they can find the pod.
At Charles Little 15 on Insta and Twitter. As always, we put them up on be on all major streaming platforms. So Apple, Google, Spotify. If you don't really get your Amazon, if you don't get your podcast from there, I mean, well, let me know and I'll try to get them up somewhere else if needed. But you know, check us out. Keep showing support. Keep listening. Check it out. We'll keep putting them out. We're gonna up the. We're gonna try to up our outage with some different topics and different people in the coming weeks. So you know, Lofton's running in the Iowa caucus, so he's gonna be busy, and we got other things to do. So you know, we got to keep banging these pods out regardless. So we'll be here. We'll be getting them out to you.
This guy is just incredible. My man. Thanks for rocking with the Charles Little podcast. Already glad that we got through 3 or 2 weeks. Maybe Charles will be preparing and getting some Skyline as well as a Miller Lite and going to Newport here in about 12 weeks time. Hopefully not, because I don't want to see any videos of him going up, but it's a possibility. It's out there, folks. Charles, send us off for the week, man.
Wahala.
All right.